job?
I fear that when in Rome, when in Deathlands, one must look first for survival. Anything above and beyond that is somewhat of a bonus, my dear child.
Lori pouted and swung away. As she stalked off, she tripped over some loose ammo.
Ah! Fuck this!
She'll break her red blasted ankle with those heels one of these days.
Could be. We all got what we want? Enough to chill a mutiny army, I guess.
After the chill, we can go and look at the freezing. Get it? Get it? That was a joke, was it not?
Very nearly, Doc. Very nearly.
This is it.
The six had walked briskly through the sweeping corridors of the redoubt. One of the surprises had been that they still hadn't the least idea where in all of Deathlands they were. The light blue locator strips had brought them to the northern limits of the fortress, which was one of the largest that Ryan had ever encountered. They saw no further signs of life, and no more evidence of any seismic damage to the structure. The nearer they came to the auxiliary exits at the northern flank, the less they saw of any hasty withdrawal. There were few rooms opening off, and all of them had been stripped bare and left utterly deserted.
Anything else you can tell us about these cryo places, Doc?
Well, when I was first trawled, none of us would have dreamed it would become possible to put a human being into a sort of suspended state of animation and then hope to revitalize them. It would have been like the books of Jules Verne.
Whatever. What about when you were around Project Cerberus in the late 90s?
No. You must be aware, my friend, that science had become ever more specialized. I saw and heard, perhaps more than they wished.
How'd they do it?
The freezing?
Yeah. Ice or what?
No, not ice. Some gas, I believe. Let us see how well my memory can recall.
For 100 paces or more, he didn't speak, forehead furrowed with the effort of trying to remember.
Yes. It all depends on the temperature at which the gas liquefies. Carbon dioxide was discarded because it doesn't liquefy, just freezes solid at minus 78 Celsius. No good. Nitrous oxide, a scant 10 degrees more chill, not cold enough. Then I think liquid nitrogen.
Colder?
Much. My memory toys with a figure of minus 196 degrees.
Dark night, Doc. That's some kind of cold.
Indeed it is, John Barrymore. I have seen experiments. A flower becomes as solid and as fragile as spun crystal. Place an apple into liquid nitrogen for a few moments, and then take it out and strike it with a hammer. It will shatter into 1,000 splinters. But I cannot imagine what human flesh becomes.
They walked on in silence for several minutes, each of them locked into imagining that situation. If an apple became like stone, then how would flesh react to being frozen? Christy tugged at Ryan's sleeve, breaking into his thoughts.
Figure we'll find us some freezies, lover?
Not likely. Not impossible. If they evacuated the redoubt in a hurry, they might not have been able to take any with them. But from what Doc says about it, there might not have been any in the first place. It was all kind of experimental.
We'll soon know.
Christy pointed to the sign on the wall ahead. Cryo. Medical clearance 10, or B equivalent, only permitted.
TV's watching us.
Jack pointed up at the diminutive cameras that ranged ceaselessly backward and forward.
Nobody watching them, though.
Ryan pushed at the control lever for the single sector that blocked off the passageway.
I hear something.
What?
Quiet, Ryan.
Yes, ma'am.
Shh.
Ryan strained his hearing, thinking he might have caught the faint sound, or imagined that he'd heard, or...
I can't hear anything unusual, Christy.
Hissing. Like steam. Far off. Yeah, thought at first it could have been an armored door opening, that kind of sound, but it's not. Too steady. Constant pitch to it.
A little farther, around a wide bend, they came across a different kind of a door.
Why, 'tis an airlock. Guess that makes sense if it's some sort of medical base.
The notice beside the armaglass-topped door ran to about 50 lines, covering all manner of rules and regulations about who could go through and when and with whose permission, as well as details about what kind of protective clothing had to be worn.
You sure this isn't full of some kind of germy gas or nervers, Doc?
No. I imagine it'll be quite the reverse, my dear Mr. Dix. Free of all manner of germs or infection. The protective clothing will be to stop us bringing sickness in, not to prevent us from catching it from anyone or anything in there.
Ryan laid his hand on the door and began to push it open.
Cryogenic command. Unauthorized personnel withdraw immediately. Security will take terminal action.
JB unslung his new blaster and leveled it at a bank of linked speakers set in the center of the arched ceiling.
Command. Unauthorized personnel withdraw.
That's telling, Big Mouth Rat Boy.
Move it out, people.
Some years earlier, in wind-washed Wisconsin, Ryan had led a hunting party through the ruins of a deserted ville, and they'd come across the tumbled stones of what had once been a large hospital. One wing had been freakishly protected from the worst of the nuke blasting. He still remembered the cold wind blowing along the corridors and the look and feel of the place. Now, on the fringes of the deep redoubt, there was a similar feeling. Ryan almost felt that he could even catch the long-gone scent of disinfectant lingering in the dull, reprocessed air.
Looks like they cleared up rather carefully here. Look in here, everything copybook neat and trim. Like they were hoping one day to come back and pick up where they left off.
It was true. Word processors stood at the ready under plastic covers. Phones waited for the next call. Filing cabinets were closed and orderly. An operating room waited for a new patient. Rustless scalpels and probes lying in glittering ranks with other nameless tools of the surgeon.
Gives me creepies. Reminds me of the redoubt I came from. Cold and watching us.
Ryan knew what the girl meant. It was oddly sinister the way that everything in this section was so perfect. It was almost as if they'd slipped through into a time warp. At any moment, a sec man or a doctor or a nurse would walk along the antiseptic corridor and challenge them. They reached another airlock door. Christy was in the lead, but she faltered and stopped, putting her hand to her forehead.
What is it?
Don't know, lover, but Gaia, something strange is living and partly living. Dead and yet not dead.
Freezies, as you call them. They must be what Christy can see in there.
Could it?
She shook her head, the mass of crimson hair dancing across her shoulders like filaments spun from fire.
How the... I don't know, lover. I can only tell you that there's something up ahead of us that's not like anything I ever sensed before.
Could go back.
No. Christy says that what's through there isn't alive, so it can't hurt us.
But say not dead as well.
So let's move on.
There were two airlocks close together, each with its own set of instructions about making sure no clothing was trapped in closing doors and not attempting to leave until pressure equalizer had fully returned to zero. Beyond the second set was an ordinary pair of double-swing doors. Ryan took the lead, pushing the doors open and stepping cautiously through into a huge control room, much like the one that ran the gateway.
This is it.
The other five filed in after him, stopping to gaze around at the amazing complex of comp panels with lights, buttons, and switches.
Look.
Christy pointed across at the long side wall of clear glass.